Again, welcome everyone, and welcome staff and councillors. I declare open our extraordinary council meeting. There are no apologies, no requests for leave of absence that I'm aware of. This is not me, yep. Confirm the agenda as circulated. Remind you that if there are any conflicts of interest, you need to let us know. There's no request for public forum, so we'll move straight to item 7 on our agenda, and policy committee terms of reference and appointments. The paper has been circulated. We understand the context around and the path we've been on to get to this point, and the recommendations from the 15th of May council meeting. And this paper is part of the process to give effect to those resolutions. As you can see in the agenda and the attachments, the Chief Executive did write to Ngāi Tahu, and we've had a response from the Runanga Chairs, and two names have been forwarded, and so we've come to this point today. Mrs. Gardner, anything else you would like to add in the way of introduction?
No, I'm fine with that, but right, happy to take questions.
All right, open the paper for discussion. Councillor Bega.
I'm very pleased to move the recommendation on page 4, all three parts of it, and thank the Chief Executive for her prompt work in making all this happen. It's great. Really, really pleased. I didn't imagine that today's committee meeting would show the flourishing of this idea, and I'm thrilled that it has. So I'm happy to move the recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second? Councillor Robertson.
No, thank you.
Thank you in response to that. Thank you, Councillor Deaker. And we weren't sure that that was possible either, but essentially the stars have lined up, and it is now possible. So we've reacted accordingly. And you can see that the terms of reference, the wording that we're talking about changing, excuse me, is highlighted on page 5 of the agenda, and around the membership. The policy committee shall have membership of all elected members and two representatives nominated by local iwi, and the quorum of the committee shall be 7 members. Those are the two proposed changes to the terms of reference for the policy.
I just had one question, if I might, around the term local iwi. Was that an agreed term, or is it the appropriate term? Is it clear enough? Is it clear enough? I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of mana whenua as opposed to local iwi. I'm just not sure. It's a minor point, but just wondering about that.
I can't answer that, so Ms.
I think it's all right. That's the terminology that we've been using throughout this process, and iwi certainly haven't said to us that it's incorrect.
Okay, that's fine, thank you.
I did.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to vote against this motion, but my feelings remain exactly the same, which I made at the last council meeting. However, I accept the democratic process, and it's a fait accompli.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm going to abstain from voting today, which I don't normally do. I'm either a yes or a no person. But I stand by my decision that I made and the comments that I made at our last meeting on the 15th of May. And I would like to suggest to iwi that the elections close at lunchtime on the 16th of August, that they have an opportunity of putting their hands up, and I hope that they do. But I also want to say that I know that, like Councillor Neil has just said, I'll work around the table with Edward and Tahu, the same as what I do with my councillors.
The laws.
I am going to vote against this, and very strongly. First of all, I'd like to take you to pages 14, or clauses 14 and 15, and the rationale given to perform what is a completely undemocratic motion today. In clause 14 and 15, staff note, or whoever wrote this paper, that council has a statutory obligation to consult with iwi. Consultation with iwi is not the same as gifting iwi to policy making positions around council table. Consultation is well defined by both legislation and by courts, and it is not to allow a consultative party to engage in a policy making role with that particular agency. On 15 it says that staff consider that the benefits to appointing iwi representatives are twofold. It gives tangible effects to council's partnership with iwi. Really? I don't think we've ever had that discussion around this council table over the last 3 years about what that partnership with iwi is. And that consultation has never been held with the wider community. Indeed, there has been no public consultation whatsoever with the wider Otago community on this issue. In fact, at the start of this council term, it rejected Māori wards, and how ironic then that there should be such a logical inconsistency as to provide iwi representatives with two seats at the most powerful committee. One group in the Otago community, a preference and a power that no other group receives. And that is as wrong gets. I've talked to you before about the lack of logical consistency of a Māori ward being voted down, but iwi being given preference. There's nothing here advancing Māori engagement with the council. There is of engaging with one iwi, but that is not what the Local Government Act states. It's about advancing Māori and their interaction. And iwi are not Māori, not within the definition of the Act. And now iwi have three brights at the cherry. One, they can vote for the general election, as just alluded to by Councillor Bell. They have the same democratic right to vote and to stand in that election as you or I or any other member of the Otago community. But then, being able to vote for someone in the general ward, they have their own iwi representative as well, a status and an accord given to no other group in the Otago community. And then they also have a third issue. They have legislative preference in the Resource Management Act and other legislation to be a direct party for consultation purposes. No other group in Otago receives that kind of preference. This isn't like with a Māori ward, where you in actual fact create a ward and you say, this is a ward set aside to engage Māori. All Māori may vote with them, as for example happens in Gisborne and the Bay of Plenty. And those representatives clearly represent the Māori community in that area. This is something completely different. This is giving two iwi representatives, Mr. Allison and Mr. Portiki, a particular preference, as I said, that no other group in our community enjoys. Then there's the timing issue. Why are we doing this now? It's June. We go to elections in 3 months, and we're going to have to go through this whole process again. Councillor Lawton sent you all an email, or certainly the email that I've sent, that says, why aren't we actually talking about what partnership means, getting some principles, getting some active engagement around encouraging Māori in the democratic process. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this instead. And finally, Mr. Allison and Mr. Portiki are fine gentlemen. There's no question of that. They are outstanding individuals in their own right, let alone being iwi representatives. Oh, the invitation's clear. Mr. Allison and Mr. Portiki could stand in the Dunedin ward of this forthcoming election. I'm sure they wouldn't be disadvantaged for their ethnicity. In fact, far from it. I'm sure that the Otago community is not a racist community. Far from it. So for those reasons, I cannot support this today. And I believe very strongly in the idea that one person, one vote.
Yeah. So as a reminder, we're not relitigating the previous decision. And the recommendations have been moved and seconded, and they're quite straightforward in front of you. It's actually the terms of reference to the policy committee. So just a reminder. Councillor Lord.
actually from Councillor Laws. My email stands. I haven't changed my mind. It brings me great sadness as a governor today that we are jumping into this without having truly thought about all of the options. Section 39 of the Local Government Act requires of one of our governance principles for the local authority to ensure that governance structures and processes are effective, open and transparent. We have not done that. We still don't have an updated MOU. It doesn't say anything about iwi being represented on the policy committee. So I'm going to abstain. I'm not going to vote against this. I can't. But just because I feel it's the right thing to do, it doesn't actually mean that we've been good governors. So that's all I needed to rehash.
Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point. It seems to me that we're just relitigating a debate that we had a number of weeks ago, and as stated in this report, at its meeting on the 5th of May, the Council resolved to appoint two iwi representatives to the Policy Committee, so that decision's been made. And here we are today in regards to the terms of reference as outlined by the Chair. So that's that. In my view, there's no need to relitigate anything. This is about implementing that outcome in a timely manner. I think we've got three committee meetings between now and the end of the triennium, so let's get on with it. And I'm looking forward to debating and working face-to-face with our iwi partners. I really am. Yeah. I'm quite excited about it. Let's get on with it. Thank you.
Councillor Robinson?
I just thought, yeah, as Chair of Policy Committee, just I'll hopefully get to welcome our two new members soon. And just, yeah, we've had the debate, but just thought it's important to say that, yes, we do need to be effective, honest and open under the Local Government Act. And we set up committees when needed, in a way that's needed and effective, honest and open, to do our work as best we can. And sometimes not doing anything is the worst thing we can do in that respect, when we know we could do better. And having a meaningful partnership, we can do better on that. So we do have the statutory authority to appoint iwi representatives to the policy committee. That's what we're doing. Defining terms of reference right now. And as I said before, we have other committees with other members as well where we bring in skills as required. No doubt there are some really important skills here, but more than just skills, a partnership. And this is a step towards it. We've had workshops, we've had meetings where local iwi and Ngāi Tahu have come and said this is the first step that we want to take towards partnership. It's been very clear to us. So we're not just coming up with randomly a step here that hasn't been decided on. It's been very clearly put to us. So terms of reference, yes, very sensible. Minor changes to allow two iwi representatives to sit with us on the policy committee. Very, very useful step. Thank you.
All right, no further hands up. I'll put the recommendations. Are you comfortable? Just vote by general acclamation as per normal.
As mover of the motion, just exercise my right of reply?
Yes.
Not to Councillor Laws, because there was absolutely nothing new in what he said. He said it all before. At the last attempt to stop this, and I suspect today it was said purely for the benefit of the media. And Councillor Lawton, I think, made the good point that we do need to keep in mind that the MOU must be revised, mm-hmm. and I'm sure, Mr. Chairman, that we actually, probably too informally, agreed on that unanimously, that it will be revised, and I suspect that agreement was at the next the start of the next triennium, that the whole thing would be reworked.
Yes.
And that's important. Councillor Scott and Councillor Robertson had it nailed, absolutely right. Everything they said was perfectly true.
Mrs. Gardner, do you want to just touch on that?
The debate that was had, if you remember, there was initially a date, I think, that was proposed for part D of the resolution that was passed at the previous meeting. And the discussion that was had is that in order to undertake that process, that will take some time with iwi, particularly if they choose at that point to ask us to enter into a mana whakahono agreement. And so the date was actually removed from the proposed resolution at that point. So, but there was a discussion about ensuring that you know, as quickly as possible in the new triennium, that is moved through, and we can certainly start that now.
Yes, and there are several levels at which it's not just an MOU. The MOU was actually set up when KTKO was put in place, and it primarily focused around how we were going to interact as organisations with respect to processing of consents and dealing with the cultural input there. But we also have other agreements. There's one around the Tirupatoio agreement with our fellow councils around Otago. The relationship is expressed across a number of agreements, so that it will take time to work through that. And it's appropriate that we signal that and start that process so we can update it at the start of next triennium, as early as possible in the triennium. So the relationship certainly is not anchored solely around the MOU. All right.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask for division, please?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We'll put the recommendations. We're all clear on what they are. Inspector, can you work your way through? Vision, please.
Would you like to read the resolution first?
Well, I'll do that if you like. We receive the report, we adopt the attached terms of reference to the 2016-2019 for the Policy Committee and appoint Edward Allison and Tahu Pātiki as members of the Policy Committee.
Councillor Bell.
Abstain.
Councillor Brown.
For the recommendation.
Councillor Decker.
For.
Councillor Hub.
For.
Councillor
Kempton. For.
Against. Abstain.
Councillor
Lane.
For.
Councillor
Robertson.
For.
Councillor Scott.
For.
Councillor Williams. For. I declare the motion carried. Thank you very much. All right, moving on through our agenda and move to item 9, resolution to exclude the public. I'm happy to put that. Is there a seconder, please? Seconder, Councillor Hope. I'll put it all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. So we're in committee for a moment.